is from Genesis 11, 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and fire them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built, and the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. And now, Acts 2, verses 1 through 8. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." The word of God for the people of God.
How many of you remember the classic movie Cool Hand Luke? You know, it starred Paul Newman in the title role, and it depicts the oppressive prison farm rogue gang system that was prevalent throughout the South, especially, all the way up through the 1950s, and it depicts one man's determination not to let that system dehumanize him. Now, about halfway through the movie, Luke tries to make an escape. He's caught and brought back, and the camp warden puts him in leg irons, to which he makes this little smart aleck quip,
And the captain, as he's called, the captain utters one of those unforgettable lines. Now, what we've got here, he says in a whiny, sniveling southern drawl, now, what we've got here is failure to communicate. Failure to communicate. So guess what we have here in this old Tower of Babel story? We got a failure to communicate, right? Let me explain. Do you remember what God tells the man and the woman in the garden at the end of the first creation story in Genesis 1? You remember what God says? God says, be fruitful and multiply and do what? Fill the earth. Then, after the flood, God, do you remember what God tells Noah and his sons after they get off the ark after the flood? God says to them, be fruitful and multiply and do what? Fill the earth. In other words, God's plan for humanity was always multiplicity of locality and the cultural diversity that comes from multiplicity of locality. But in today's story, the point of today's story is that humanity resisted God's command to spread abroad. They were afraid. They wanted to cling to their own little locality. They wanted to cling to their sameness. Even more telling, we're told that the people, or probably more likely their leaders, wanted to puff themselves up. They wanted to make a name for themselves. So they came up with a grand construction project. They would build a tower to heaven. And because it could always go a little higher, it would never quite be finished. And that way, working on it would keep them together forever in the same place. Well, understand that Babel is an archetypal story that's been repeated over and over and over again in history. Human history has Shelley's Ozymandias written all over its pages, from Khufu's Great Pyramid and Ramses' magnificent temples and monuments, magnificent monuments to himself, of course, in Egypt, to Nebuchadnezzar's Hanging Gardens in Babylon, to Darius's magnificent palace in Persepolis, to Augustus Caesar, who claims to have found Rome a city of bricks, and he left it a city of marble, down to our very day, with a builder who is obsessed with making a name for himself and making sure it's stamped on everything he owns. You see, the Tower of Babel is the precursor story. The precursor story of vertical top-down oppression, of classism, the exploitation of the urban masses. One old Jewish commentary from Midrash imagines what happened like this. The Tower of Babel grew and grew and grew until it took a full year for people to pass the bricks from the bottom hand to hand to get all the way to the top. Bricks became so precious that when one slipped out of a worker's hand and fell and broke, the people wept. But when a human worker fell to his death, nobody paid any attention. So what did God do? God tried to save the people. The Hebrew word really isn't to confuse their language, as the translation has it, but the better word is, God tried to save the people by mixing up their words so that the construction project would have to stop. Barbara Brown Taylor explains it like this: God always envisioned us human beings as coming in varieties, our languages as beautifully different from one another as the wonderful variety of songs that the various species of birds sing. Think how dull the world would be if there was just one bird song. And she's right. Think how our understanding of Jesus' beatitude, "Blessed are the meek," is enriched when we hear it in French as "Blessed are the debonair." Debonair. Does that give you a whole new insight in what it means to be meek? You're debonair. But apparently, the best laid plans, not only of mice and men, but even of God, can go awry. Because in spite of God's efforts, we humans turn God's attempt to diversify our languages and dwelling places on this earth into an excuse for conflict. What had been the vertical top-down oppression of classism in the original Gotham City now reappeared as the horizontal violence of tribalism and nationalism, the tribe of one place pitting itself over against the tribe of another place, one nation proclaiming itself first and greatest among all the nations. So whether it's the top-down exploitative spirit of the tower itself, or the horizontal violence that of tribal babble that occurs in its aftermath, the spirit of Babel, the spirit of Babel, is what makes us want to other our fellow human beings. It's what makes people think they can own or look down on other people. It's what turns the opportunities offered to us by our differences into perceived threats. The spirit of Babel is what built the Berlin Wall. And it's what has built, if you have ever been there as I have, that hideous ghetto wall between Israel and the Palestinian territories at Bethlehem, the very birthplace of the Prince of Peace. And it's that Babel spirit it's what has spawned the plethora of Christian denominations, each seeking to achieve unity by throwing all the others out. But guess what? The Babel of languages, that's not the real problem. That's just the symptom of the problem. Our failure to communicate as human beings is not so much a failure of the mind, of not having or knowing the right word to speak, as much as it is a failure of the heart. Our unwillingness to empathize with our fellow human beings, our unwillingness to follow Atticus Finch's advice to Scout when he said, "You can never really understand a person until you climb into his or her skin and walk around in it." Did you know that our verb communicate, which of course means to share information, to make a thought or idea common among others. That comes from the same Latin root as our noun community, designating that which is shared by all, that which is common to all, a relationship of cooperation and minimal support, mutual support among individuals. So you see, when we communicate with another person, I mean really communicate with them, we create community out of disunity. We create a shared reality with them. Well, thanks be to God. Oh, this is not a pulpit. thanks be to God. Babel is not the only spirit at work in our world today, is it? Oh no, there's another spirit at work in the world. You know its name. Tell me. The Holy Spirit. You're right, the Holy Spirit. The spirit that heals our broken world. It is the balm of Gilead that heals the sin-sick soul. And this is where today's story of Pentecost comes into the picture. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit overcomes the spirit of Babel, undoes the confusion, the Babel of Babel. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit empowers a gaggle of uneducated working class stiffs from backwater hillbilly Galilee, empowers them to communicate, to really communicate the good news of the gospel, the resurrection power of the gospel in such a way as to create community where before there was only disunity. Now, we can get hung up on the question, did those hillbillies from Galilee really, did they really start speaking in over a dozen exotic languages from places that they had never been? Even the preacher finds that hard to believe, you know? I mean, after all, Barbara can tell you this, I've been studying Spanish on Duolingo for about 3 years. And I can just about say, pásame la salsa, por favor. I'm just saying. Some in the crowd who heard them that Pentecost morning thought they were drunk. And I suppose they were drunk. But drunk, to borrow a phrase from one of Brian Wren's hymns, they were drunk on the wine of resurrection. They were drunk on the inebriating power of God to make a way when we can't see that there is any way ahead of us. On the power of God to bring community out of what seems like disunity. Don't we all want to be drunk on such wine as that, huh? Amen? Now, I don't know whether they spoke Farsi or Egyptian, Arabic or Demotic, Latin or Etruscan. But what I know for sure is that day they spoke Pentecostalese. Not Chinese, not Portuguese, but Pentecostalese. Do you know what Pentecostalese is? Well, in the words of our closing hymn, it's the language all may understand. When love speaks loud and clear. Let me give you a few instances of speaking Pentecostalese. My father-in-law, John Ruth, was a larger-than-life character. I mean, he went around with a big cowboy hat. Back in the 80s, people thought he was from Dallas, a character from the TV thing Dallas, and as an old Navy chief, he was tough as nails. He was used to ordering those seamen around, and he didn't hesitate to tell anyone how the cow ate the cabbage. And yet he had this tender side. He was this wonderful mixture of combination of grit and grace. Back in the 1980s, before the collapse of communism, he and my mother-in-law, Jewel, took several trips to Eastern Europe. Now Jewel was intent on smuggling Bibles into those communist countries. I'm not sure how she expected the Romanian or Bulgarian or Polish hotel maid to be able to read the Bible they left for them, since it was in King James English, but that's neither here nor there. But before going, John would buy bags and bags of double bubble gum and tear those bags open and fill the whole bottom layer of his suitcase 2 or 3 inches thick with double bubble gum. And then each day, after he got there, each day he'd fill his pockets with 2 big fistfuls of double bubble gum. And as he walked down the streets of Bucharest or Sofia or Krakow, he'd hand a piece of double bubble gum to every child he passed. Now, you know what? He didn't have to say a word of Romanian or Bulgarian or Polish, because he was speaking Pentecostalese, the language all may understand when love speaks loud and clear. A second, for instance, there's a man in a prayer group I attend. His politics and mine are, well, let's just say rather different. But while I'm just a preacher of the word, he is actually a doer of the word. Every week he goes over to a 7-Eleven or a mom and pop store on 11th or 12th Street in East Austin and has lunch with a group of African-American gentlemen, and they chew the fat for a while, and ever so microscopically they are weaving together the strands of community out of disunity, all because they have learned to speak Pentecostalese to each other. The language all may understand when love speaks loud and clear. Finally, if you haven't seen the film No Other Land, you should. It won this year's Oscar for Best Documentary. A young Palestinian activist and a young Jewish Israeli journalist, at some risk to themselves, team up to show us what the Israeli military is doing, the forced displacement of Palestinians from land they have lived on as their own for generations. The army just comes in and bulldozes down their homes, all to create supposedly a practice firing range for tanks. But then they often turn over the land to Jewish settlers. I want you to listen to the Jewish-Israeli journalist Yuval Avraham's acceptance speech.
We made this film, Palestinians and Israelis, because together our voices are stronger. We see each other. The atrocious destruction of Gaza and its people, which must end, the Israeli hostages brutally taken in the crime of October 7th, which must be freed. When I look at Basel, I see my brother, but we are unequal. We live in a regime where I am free under civilian law, and Basel is under military laws that destroy his life and he cannot control. There is a different path, a political solution, without ethnic supremacy, with national rights for both of our people. And I have to say, as I am here, the foreign policy in this country is helping to block this path. And Can't you see that we are intertwined? That my people can be truly safe if Bessel's people are truly free and safe. There is another way. It's not too late for life, for the living.
It's not too late for life, for the living, because there is
no... There is no other way. Thank you.
Because there is no other way. My brothers and sisters, that's what speaking Pentecostalese sounds like. And guess what? Today's is Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit can't wait to teach us the language all may understand when love speaks loud and clear. Amen.